It's not just an ordinary Tuesday. Welcome to Terrier Tuesdays, the show where you can get to know some of Boston University's best and brightest student athletes.
Welcome to another edition of Terrier Tuesdays. My name is Kevin Edelson. I'm pleased to be joined by Emily Tillo, former member of the Boston University golf team, former BU and Patriot League Woman of the Year, and former Patriot League champion. It's great to have you here, Emily.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you virtually.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll start off just kind of your life in general right now. I work at the PGA Tour. Just tell us a little bit about your position and what you do with the tour.
Sure, yeah. So I'm a PRI community outreach manager for the Players Championship. I took that role in December of 2019. Prior to that, have held various positions in the communications department within the PGA Tour. Actually started at the PGA Tour 5 days after graduation from BU, so pretty much hauled my stuff into boxes up ComAv with my mom to the UPS store, shifted back home, and then was back in my childhood bedroom 5 days later, and now just celebrated a little while ago, my 4-year anniversary with the tour, and it's been a great journey. Interned with the tour before my senior year at BU, and that solidified me wanting to work in that industry. So it's certainly been an up and down year. So the Players is the PGA Tour's flagship event, and it was canceled after the first round of play. And that's honestly seemingly when the world kind of turned upside down for a lot of us, and where it hit home for us locally in the Jacksonville, Northeast Florida area. And since then, we went through a 3-month break of no golf. And then fortunately enough, we were able to come back in June to play some competitive golf. And the ratings have been great. The competition's been great. And then we end our season next week with the Tour Championship. So definitely exciting times to have golf back and be able to do it safely. So it's ebbed and flow and ebbs and flows in terms of work, but been working from home and things are starting to slowly reopen in terms of the gym at work and things like that. So excited to hopefully get back to normal soon once things settle down.
Absolutely. And it's been great to be able to watch the tour and watch them be successful with their return to play. So take us through what sort of the day-to-day is like with your position there, both in normal times, pre-COVID, and then maybe some of how you've had to adjust what you and what the tour has been doing during this pandemic.
Sure, yeah. So part of my role is really managing the year-round public relations, messaging, and I would say storytelling efforts too. So I love my job because no day is the same and I get to work in the sport that has given me so much. And so it's really cool to be able to combine all those passions. So leading up to the tournament, I would say from November all the way through the tournaments in March, it's more in reactive mode versus proactive mode in terms of answering media requests about stories or working with a local PGA Tour player on a story, getting him on the local news. So I've come to develop really good relationships with local media, but also we're tasked with making sure the Players becomes a recognizable event, like the Kentucky Derby, like the Masters. You know, everyone in golf, even if you're not in golf, you know, people think of the Masters as the biggest event. But me personally, I want people to think of the Players as the biggest event because it's the tour's gold star, essentially, of we try to do everything the absolute best with that tournament, from having the strongest field and the strongest competition to the iconic stadium course with the 17th hole. So my job is really to sell why people should come attend that tournament from all across the world and not just locally. But you still have to win your home game. So you still have to sell tickets locally and get people invested and bought in. So my job kind of involves, in a nutshell, telling stories about why you should come, but not just from a competition standpoint, from a non-competition standpoint too. If you have never seen a golf shot in your life, that's okay. You can come and still party and have a good time. So that's what's cool. And you kind of look at it with other big sporting events too, the Kentucky Derby. You don't have to really enjoy horse racing. You can just go there for the social aspect. So it makes my job fun because I'm basically trying to sell all aspects of the tournament. And then at the end of the day, net proceeds from our tournament go to charity. So in some ways it's a win-win-win because you're purchasing a ticket and then helping people in your community. So that certainly makes the job rewarding. I hope that answered your question. It's kind of long-winded, but it's fielding a lot of different requests and in some ways very similar to your role of no 2 days are the same, of what team you're working with and things like that.
That's really great. How did it change for you with everything that's gone on? And obviously you're tournament happens every year, so you're certainly looking ahead, but how did your responsibilities shift with everything that went on?
Yeah, it so much of the month or two after the tournament was in some ways what we call recap mode. We still had to deliver value to our sponsors and show them what earned media we gave them, and closing out kind of the 2020 cycle, but also just looking for creative ways to say how we're still committed and invested in the community. And even though the tournament was canceled, one of the things I'll remember most is, and PGA Tour pro Billy Horschel, he University of Florida grad, lives in Ponte Vedra Beach, and there's probably about 20 PGA Tour players that live where the PGA Tour is headquartered in Jacksonville, just because you have the incredible facilities of TPC Sawgrass right there, and the weather's great all year round. It's hot now. It's just that we were just cracking up that you're wearing sweaters today, and it's brutal in August in Florida. But anyway, within hours of the tournament's cancellation, him and his family were packing up boxes, $700,000 worth of food that was left over from the tournament that was then distributed to Feeding Northeast Florida, which is a food bank and food agency that delivers it. So we really, and that's just an example of how we had to get creative of saying, look, things are different, times are different, but we are going to get creative in how we're going to continue to help the community. And so being able to tell stories like that, I mean, that's what makes the job so rewarding, is that you can turn something so bad and into something good. So it's certainly been, some weeks have been busier than others based on what players are doing in the community, what charities we're talking to. So my role involves kind of working and to look and mine for those stories. But it's scenario planning right now too for the 2021 event, just because there's still so many unknowns. We're hopeful obviously that we can have fans back on site, but working through the logistics with our executive director of what does that look like? What does capacity look like? What does the experience look like on site? Because everything's going to be different here moving forward, I think, for every sport. NFL's doing it. NBA's making changes. I mean, you're going to have to make changes. So right now it's just determining the messaging points of what can we contribute to the community with the resources that we have and what we're working with right now in the day-to-day that's constantly changing.
That's great. How cool is it? You know, oftentimes when athletes remain in their sport professionally, it's either as a coach or as an athlete competing at the highest level, but you're able to stay within golf, and work behind the scenes, which is not always the case. Those opportunities aren't always present. So how cool is it to, be able to be a professional in golf, even though it's not directly in competition?
Yes, it's so cool. It's to think that I'm so grateful that I got that internship, because who knows, if I didn't get that internship and didn't have that great experience, I may not even be here. So I consider myself very, very lucky that I get to work with such a talented team. It's high energy. It's passionate people who, not all of them love golf, but they just love what they do and are mission driven people. And it's really rewarding at the end of the day. Nothing compares to when you finish a tournament and that awesome feeling of like, oh my God, and you pour your heart and soul into something and you see it all come together. And like you said, the ins and outs and the behind the scenes, I didn't even know what it takes to put on a tournament. People see it on TV and they're just like, you just do that 1 week a year. What do you do the rest of the year? But there's so much that goes into it, from operations to sales to hospitality to, deliverables for all your different partners. It's a community event. You know, it takes a lot of different people to make it happen. So that's what makes it fun.
So you mentioned the 17th hole at TPC Sawgrass. Certainly, even if you're not necessarily a golf fan, that you probably are familiar with it. Have you ever played the 17th?
What's funny? Yeah, I have. And just last night, I'll have to send you this picture. So my little brother is a rising junior at the Naval Academy. So Patriot League rival, but he's serving our country. So got to support him that way. He played the back nine of the stadium course for the first time. So staff get privileges during certain months of the year. And so I took him out. You do not want to know what either of us scored on the hole, but we got a good picture. So yes, I have played the hole. It's so cool because, you literally are walking where the pros walk, hitting where the pros hit. It's a 137-yard shot, but every time you get up there, it's pretty scary. But there's some epic sunsets and sunrises over that hole, especially sunsets because it faces kind of the northwest. So it never gets old. And yesterday, with no grandstands around it, it's hard to think, like, God, 6 months ago, tons of grandstands around it, tons of people. It's it's kind of surreal, but it's a very peaceful hole when it's just you and the Island Green.
That's so cool. How much golf are you able to play throughout the year? Obviously you're working in golf, but have you been able to keep your game sharp and all that?
I ebb and flow when it comes to playing golf. Sometimes I'll get these spurts where I play a ton and then I won't play a lot. So it kind of just varies based on the season leading up to busier parts of the year. I barely touch a club. I know people would be ashamed to hear that, but I still try to get in golf when I can. I actually played in the tournament, a competitive tournament where my score actually counted for the first time since college this past June. So I played a ton of golf because I was so nervous. I was like, you cannot embarrass yourself. I practiced so much in April and May. So thank God golf courses in Florida were open during kind of the pandemic and I was able to play safely. And so that was fun. It was good to get the competitive juices flowing again. But yeah, I don't know how we walked 36 holes in college, because now I'm just like, yeah, I'll hit three balls, warm up. Okay, go walk nine, call it a day. And now I'm like, how did we do 36 holes? So
and on a regular too, like 36 holes wasn't just a one-off occurrence. I mean, that was consistently what you were doing for majority of these tournaments. I think people underestimate like how tiring 18 holes is, let alone mm-hmm. playing 36. And you know, I don't care how much golf you play or how good a shape you're in. I mean, it's pretty tiring. So I've always been impressed with how much golf that college athletes are able to play in such a truncated timetable.
I know, mentally exhausting too, just when you're done. But yeah, I try to get out when I can, but not as much as I should. When you work in the industry, the joke is you don't play too much golf, but I have no excuse. It's in my backyard, essentially.
So let's talk a little bit about your time at BU, and you were an integral part of the program's history, transitioning from the MAAC to the Patriot League, and the program really took off while you were here, and it culminated for you really in the 2015 Patriot League Championship. What was it like to really be a part of the program's rise to where it is now, where it's one of the perennial powers in the conference?
It is so cool. Honestly, it's so amazing to see how much it's grown even since I've graduated. And it really started, I would say, with Kiki, Christina Pavlikova, who's back over in the Czech Republic. So hi, Kiki. She was a game changer in the program, and she came in and just dominated her freshman year. I remember when I came on my unofficial visit to BU, I went with her and sat in the question. It seems like yesterday, but it was so long ago. But she and then Adela who followed me. When you're surrounded by better people, it just pushes you to be better. So it was incredible. I'll look back on, I mean, going to NCAA regionals, you came with us. It was an incredible experience. Just being able to represent BU on that national stage and scale, it's epic. So what we've been able to do and then what the girls are doing since, I'm like, oh my God, would I even make the lineup now? They're so good. Hanako winning the Vietnam women's amateur by 20 strokes. Oh my gosh. Like it's so cool. It's so cool to see, you know, whatever role you played, you were all part of that journey. And Bruce is just keeps getting, Bruce and his team just keep getting better and better in terms of the caliber of girls that they're bringing in, and cool to be a part of that evolution.
Yeah, I was going to ask how much you're able to follow the team, because obviously you're very busy during the team's busy season, but it seems like you're certainly keeping tabs on the program, which is really cool. And how important is it for the alumni to, you know, stay in touch with the program, and how important was it for you personally to, you know, make sure that you were still involved once you graduated?
Really important, because I think about how much BU gave me, and I want to be able to give back to the program in any way I can. And whether that's, through just sending them supportive texts, or I try to stay in touch with Bruce as much as I can. I still consider him a mentor, a second dad, and in so many respects. I miss our, we would go to the Starbucks pretty much right across from like Otto's Pizza, I think, right there on Comed. We had some great chats there. So I miss our Starbucks chats. And it's just so important. I just, like I said, I think about how much BU invested in me and helped me grow and gave me so many opportunities. I want to make sure the current team is supported and knows that I'm rooting for them. And knows that I want them to break more records, and I think all my records are broke. Adela broke some of mine. It's just so cool to see each season and each cycle the team just getting better and better. I think it's important to stay connected and to stay involved, because that's how the program continues to get better. Your alumni ambassadors of the program, of the university, and I'm always proud to show off my Terriers and wear my Bees sack shirt in the gym still. People ask about it. I'm proud. I'm always proud to support BU.
That's great. We'll close with this. Any favorite memories of your time at BU, whether it was on the golf course or off the golf course? I know I mentioned the Patriot League Championship, and you mentioned some of your individual success. But is there anything that maybe stands out as something that's always going to be a cherished memory for you?
There's too many, Kevin. There's too many. I would just say the people, it's the community. It's whether you're, my teammate Maddie, who was our DJ in the van for so many rides to and from practices. I still listen to some of her playlists when I do my 8 mile bike rides to channel the former workouts that we did with Glenn Harris. Love his phrase, win the day, too. That stuck with me. I just love that. It's so simple, but it's so powerful. So the people, for sure. I think, yeah, just the community. I miss my view from Stubby. Waking up and seeing Harvard across the river. But the places we went to with BU golf, the tournaments, the competitions, the ability to travel all over the country and do that. But I would just say I just miss the people and the community and how closely connected we were. So it's hard to pinpoint one.
Well, we certainly miss you, and hopefully when everything returns back to as normal as we can be, we'll look forward to having you back around campus. And we wish you the best of luck as hopefully the players is able to go on as scheduled in 2021 with fans in the stands. It's such a great tournament, and I know as a golf fan, I always look forward to watching it. And it's even cooler now knowing that obviously you're a main part of the behind the scenes operations of it. So it's always got some BU flavor to it, which is great. So thanks so much for joining me, and we wish you the best of success going forward.
Thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate it. Miss you guys too, and hope to see you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to Terrier Tuesdays. Give us a follow on our social media accounts @BU Athletics on Twitter and Instagram for more content.